So, God is able to keep and complete by his Spirit and as we keep our eyes on him. And again, remember that God saved you. You didn't do anything to get saved. It's simply he loves us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So God loves you just like you are, and he saved you while we were yet in our sin. So part of the key, I think, is to remember that you don't keep yourself. There is a scripture that says keep yourself in the love of God, but a little different context there than just keep, because you can't do anything to stop God from loving you. You can be out of fellowship with him where you don't have any assurance and all of that, but God's love is continuous. God's love is everlasting, and it's unconditional. So we don't need to worry about keeping ourselves in the sense of our soul for God's, you know, future, for the future God has for us. But I'd like for us a moment just to think about the words keep and complete. And I kind of looked up some synonyms for those words because I think it kind of helps us to ponder sometimes words that we use commonly. So here's some synonyms for the word keep: protect, guard, defend, shield, shelter, preserve, safeguard, care for, watch over, look after, and uphold. And God does all of that when you think of the word keep. Every single one of those, sometimes the scriptures even use those references, use those words to describe God's keeping power. And recently I was just praying and thinking about, you know, the care that we need. And I'm getting old, obviously. So I'm thinking, I need a caregiver. And I'm thinking, Jesus, you're my caregiver. Oh, my constant caregiver. And he doesn't get drained like a human caregiver, right? He never gets weary. He never gets tired. He's awake around the clock. It's okay. So I like to think about those kind of things. So how about the word complete? He is able to finish. What is it? God is going to finish. And accomplish, perfect, fulfill, succeed, perform, and do. Everything is wrapped up that we need in this descriptive words that we just, it just fills us with thanksgiving and praise, and we stop to think about the Lord Jesus is doing all that for you and for me. The key scripture that I want to start with tonight is Jude 1:24 from the New King James. Jude 1:24. You all know it. It's basically a benediction that Jude wrote. But he says, now unto him who is able, there we go, to keep you from stumbling or falling, from the Old King James, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. As Kay used to say, that's a Selah verse. Remember in the lesson she used to write Selah next to a verse that really impacted her life and really something she wanted to stop and think about it. And so that's kind of stuck with me through the years sometimes. And I'm reading and I come across a verse, maybe it's a familiar verse even, but I want to stop and really Selah, pause and think about that. This is a glorious promise. There's aspects in this verse that just is so powerful. So listen to it in the Amplified. Now unto him who is able to keep you without stumbling or slipping or falling, and to present you unblemished, that is blameless and faultless. Imagine it. You're going to be blameless and faultless before the presence of his glory, the glorious holy God. We're going to stand faultless, blameless, unblemished. And it goes on to say, in the presence of his glory, in triumphant joy and exaltation, with unspeakable and ecstatic delight. What a powerful thought. What an anticipation that we have. And remember that Jesus has the absolute power and authority and ability to do all of that and more, because all power belongs to our Lord and Savior. God said, All authority, God, Jesus repeated that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. So we have a capable, faithful, almighty, unequaled God who can do that. Then we also think of another scripture that I like to think about, is especially as I grow older, is my times are in his hands. Is that a comfort to you? Our times are in his hands. That's Psalm 31:15 if you're taking notes. And then I like to think about, what are his hands like? His hands are nail pierced. He has nail pierced hands. And my times are in his nail pierced hands. But besides that, the God's word says that your name is written on his hand. It's written in the Lamb's book of life, but your name is engraved on the palm of Jesus' hand. It's incredible. What a blessing God we have. What a loving, compassionate, good God we have. So heaven is our destination, right? This isn't our home, where our citizenship is in heaven. So our heaven is our final destination, and God is going to get you there. God is going to get me there because he says he's going to complete what he started in us. He's going to finish it. He is going to get you to heaven. If you're driving on the freeway, you may not get to your destination, especially you may not get there on time, but you can be sure that God will get you to heaven, the ultimate destination, right on time. Your times, my times, are in his hands. God the Father knows best. Jesus the Son is going to walk with you. He's going to be with you. And then we're going to greet him in heaven. It's just incredible concepts. But yet we doubt, don't we, sometimes? Someone has said, never measure God's unlimited power by our limited expectations. I like that. That's something to ponder. Never measure God's unlimited power by our unlimited expectations. Recently, I've been reading, well, I always read through the Psalms. I usually try to read a psalm a day in my devotional time, and sometimes through different translations, so it sounds a little different, and maybe something catches my attention that hadn't otherwise. But I was reading the other day about the voice of the Lord, how mighty the voice of the Lord is, and one of this particular verse is from Psalm 93:4. Says, mightier than the thunders of many waters. How many of you have ever been to Niagara Falls? Niagara Falls? The sound of Niagara Falls is, you can hear it when you can't see it. The sound is just, you can't hear conversation when you're near the actual falls, different areas that you can view the falls. You can't have a conversation. It's impossible. The sound is so incredible. And after I've been to Niagara Falls and I read a verse like this, that mightier than the thunders of many waters, and I forgot how many because I'm not good with numbers like that, but it talked about how many gallons of water a minute, not an hour, but a minute go over those falls. We went underneath in a tunnel that where you kind of, where you stand behind one section of the falls. And of course, it's splashing in. It's like a little cave area. And again, it's just such a roar. It's louder than a jet engine. It was so amazingly. And you just watch that water falling over the falls. Amazing. God is mightier than the thunders of many waters. He's also mightier than the waves, the breakers of the ocean. I don't know what the highest wave they ever measured, but I've heard that can be 40 feet or higher out in the ocean, and they can just toss those big cruise ships around like they were little toys in the bathtub. A powerful, powerful God, and he created that. And the Lord, verse finishes, the Lord on high is mighty. So let's don't limit God. Let's enlarge our concept of who God is and his ability, his unlimited ability. So going back to our thought about God finishing, as believers, you and I have God's guarantee that you will arrive, that you're going to make it because of who he is and his power to come through and to deliver and achieve his promises. I also like to remember and reflect on the scripture that tells us that Jesus always lives to make intercession for you and for me. If it was not enough, and it was, for him to save us on the cross, die for us, and raise again, and be ascended on high, he didn't just sit down. Well, the scripture says he's sitting there, but he's living continuously, day and night, until we meet him there. He's praying for you. He ever lives to make intercession for you and for me. Sometimes I grow weary in interceding. Do you ever grow weary in interceding? Jesus doesn't. Remember that Jesus is praying even when we feel like we cannot pray one more prayer. We prayed it again and again, and sometimes it seems like nothing is really happening about those that we're praying for. But Jesus is praying. God hears our prayers, and he wants us to pray and to participate in his work. But remember that Jesus is praying, and God has a special place in his heart for Jesus, of course. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, unending intercession is going on for you. You know that he's going to be able to keep and complete. And if that, again, isn't enough, remember what it says in Ephesians, that you and I, as believers, are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Another guarantee. The Holy Spirit is your deposit. He's your down payment. He is the assurance that God is going to finish again your earthly journey and take you to glory to be with him. And we know we may lose a few battles here and there with the enemy, but Jesus has already won the battle. And we know that we belong to him, and the Holy Spirit lives in us and has sealed us. And again, it's that guarantee. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You have the indwelling Holy Spirit, which makes you a child of God. And then, going on in Ephesians 2:3, I believe it says, I think that's the verse, it says, where are we seated? Where are we seated? Where? We're seated in heavenly places in Christ. Somehow, amazingly, it's not a concept you and I can wrap our minds around, but somehow, because you've put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as have I am already seated with Christ in heaven. Positionally, obviously, not my, you know, flesh and blood, but that's how much God assures you and assures me that heaven is our home. That Jesus says he's going to take us to himself to be with him forever. That's his promise. And so you and I as believers, if we take God's word as the truth and what he says, you are in a position of being seated in heavenly places or in heaven in Christ. And there's a whole study on the scriptures that talk about us being in Christ and all that we have spiritually, because we are in Christ positionally. And then, of course, he's in us. We just talked about that. So, again, I'm going to repeat. What is our part? To receive, really to believe. Receive and believe is similar terms. Take it by faith. Believe it, that it's for you, not just somebody else over there, but it's for you. And rely on what God says in a practical way when we're walking through doubt, when we're walking through. Believe what God said. Rely on it. In other words, count on it. And then rest in it, which takes all the pressure off. Then you have peace when you're resting in a truth of God's word, when you're resting in Jesus in that position. You're just resting back in his arms and in his word. Then you can rejoice in it because it changes your whole attitude. It changes everything. So God keeps you in secure in Christ positionally and as you walk through your Christian walk. But he also keeps us through circumstances. They can be really, really hard. And I'm going to share one of my personal ones with you that where it's like, so God so assured me that he's going to keep my son. My son was guilty of involuntary manslaughter when he tried to drive home one night when he'd had too much to drink. It was a season in his life where he was kind of trying to live in both worlds. And something happened to him that I prayed about when my husband, as I shared it with some of you last week, that my husband was an alcoholic. But my husband never had an accident. Prayed him home from work many, many times. And God got him home safe. In fact, he never got a 502, which was a miracle. So what happened did not happen to my husband, happened to my son. He had an accident and ran a red light and killed the driver of another car. It was horrible. I think, and my husband had already passed, but it was harder for me in that moment when I got that news than it was when I heard that my husband, because I knew where my husband was. He was with Jesus. But now what's going to happen to my son? So that's the setting. But I have to tell you, testimony after testimony, he pled guilty because already the Holy Spirit was working on him. He just said to me when I viewed him through, both of us crying through those, you know, that glass, talking on the phone, and he said, I didn't think it would happen to me. That is, it can happen to anyone, anyone. And so, but he had the illusion because I was a praying mother and he knew he had Jesus. He didn't think anything that bad could happen to him. But let me tell you, when you pray that God will get a hold of, you can still trust what God allows to happen. I think that's one of our fears. When I pray that somebody I love come back to the Lord, you think, I don't want to pray that because then something really, 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 really bad may happen. And it might. But you know what? If God allows that, it's not going to be bad in the end. It's going to turn out for good. What does Romans 8:28 say? So all that to say, I don't want to go into it too long, but I have to tell you of a couple circumstances because he went to, you know, Wasco and someplace else. I've already forgotten the name because he's been out for like 10 years now. So it's been a while. But anyway, he was in some of the really, really tough prisons. And when he would walk in the yard, he just tried to kind of stay aloof. And, you know, he was doing all that he could to stay close to the Lord and all that. But there was one particular time, he said a guy across the yard got eye contact with him and started walking toward him. He was huge. My son's an average size guy, not particularly tall or muscular or any of that. But anyway, this guy started walking toward him and he just stood still waiting to see what was going to happen. He was praying. And when the guy kind of just walked right past him, you know what he said? The joy of the Lord is your strength. I mean, so that was kind of an amazing thing. Another time, it was time that they could take showers whenever, you know, and he thought, well, I should go get a shower. And he thought, he had just this little check. Maybe I shouldn't go right now. I'll wait a little bit. Well, within 20 minutes, somebody had gotten stabbed in the shower. Wasn't killed, but somebody was attacked in the shower. And so God has ways of protecting us in an environment that you consider is totally, you know, incapable of being protected. And so, and then meanwhile, God was using him to share a little bit here and there. And in one particular prison, they had a Bible study. And of course, he was raised in the church. He knew the scriptures and all that. And of course, by then he was just totally repentant and just trusting God to see him through this season of his life. So God can take you and keep you through any season of life. And I know some of you may have health issues. God can keep you through those major health issues. Because if God allows it, he's going to keep you in it. And he's going to do something good in it. And you're going to get to know God better and better. So that's my story of my son and hard places in life that God can take you and keep you through. And meanwhile, he kept me because obviously we pray and intercede, and so God continued to give me peace and scriptures and encouragement that my son was in his hands. So what are you worrying about? What do you tend to worry about? What concerns you today? What are the kind of things that cause you to limit God's keeping power? Where is your faith weak? Do you struggle about or worry about health, the job, the future? The older I get, the more I have to continue to give my future into God's hands. This is my last week on staff at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. I am retiring, and God led me to this place. So I'm stepping out in another season of trusting God financially, trusting God for just whatever He has. And yet, I love ministry, so I'll keep doing whatever the Lord opens the door to do. But so there's seasons of life, and yet there's things that tend to cause us to fret, of course, because we're not perfected yet, but God is doing that. So, but those kind of things, if I look back and think about what God has brought me through, I'm thinking the future's no problem with Him. My times are in His hands. He holds my future in His hands, and He loves me, and He's faithful, and He's good, and He's compassionate. He's understanding. He's my friend. He's my husband. He's my counselor. He's my constant companion. He's my shepherd. He's my Lord. He's my King. And you can just go on and on and on. And Jesus is your friend that sticks closer than a brother. Fall back on the names of who God is, and you will be encouraged in your walk. You will be encouraged knowing that God is able to keep you, that Jesus is there, and He is there for you. So the thing that I currently struggle with is not my kids anymore. Of course, you know, not to say they couldn't make a big boo-boo. They could. But I have grandkids now. I have 3 married grandkids. And you just never stop praying for your kids and your grandkids. And so now, with the world we live in, I'm concerned about my grandsons, especially. My granddaughters are both married now. In fact, I have now 2 little baby kids to think about. One is 7 months old and one is 4 months old. So I have 2 great grandsons. Both of my granddaughters are married. And yet I know, looking at my grandkids, that they're not real. I mean, they're nowhere I want them to be. Anyway, are they ever? You know, we're looking for perfection, right? Not, you know, we shouldn't be, but we do want the best for them, don't we? Always, as parents and as grandparents, we want the very, very best for our kids, and we want them to avoid the stupid things we did. And yet there's more stupid things to do today than there ever was when I was a kid, but I still did some stupid things. But God kept me and helped me through those phases and through my own failures. I am reminded, God's got them. It's okay. I'm supposed to pray. Yes, it doesn't negate the need for prayer. And God honors those prayers. So, yes, He wants us to pray for them. But we have to remember. I have to remember daily. I pray almost daily for God's protection, keeping power over my grandkids, to keep them safe from the enemy's lies, the world's values, and the weaknesses of the flesh. I can worry. So I choose to continue to trust and rely on, remember just that whole sequence that I've just been sharing with you. The scripture tells me to be anxious for nothing. Nothing doesn't leave anything out, does it? But to pray about everything with thanksgiving. And then the peace of God will carry me. So, and that's the only real assurance that comes to any of us. And again, I'm not putting specific expectations on God. I may see my grandkids do some really dumb things and have to pay the consequences. That's what we pray that they don't do. But if they make those choices, you know, God is again. I can't worry. I have to keep saying, God, You'll carry me. You'll help me to continue to pray. You'll help me keep my eyes on You. And meanwhile, You're going to teach them the same kind of things You taught me through my own failures. So, trusting God. I love the scripture that 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul's testimony to his protege, Timothy, is like his son in the faith. You know this verse. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able, there's our verse, our phrase, that he is able to do what? To keep what I have committed unto him until that day, or we used to sing an old hymn, against that day. You know, I think, so it's so weird to say something funny. The older you get, those hymns come back. I told you a couple weeks ago, I started singing, Safe Am I, Safe Am I. I'm thinking, I haven't thought of that song in, I don't know, a lifetime practically. So those old hymns, those scriptures start coming back that you memorized or you sang as a kid. Anyway, so I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded or convinced that he is able to keep all that I have committed unto him against that day. Now, you may have noticed that when we quote that verse that there are some conditions in there. Paul said he know him, so we want to get to know God. We want to trust him. He believed, he know, he trusted. So we need to believe and be convinced about God's ability. And that's why we're talking about these things. God can build our faith as we put our anchor of hope in him. Then secondly, we need to commit to him. The things that concern us, commit them to God. We can't carry it. We can't fix it. We can't do anything, can we? Especially when it comes to grown kids. You know, when you got a two-year-old, you might be able to do a little something in their lives to keep them from, you know, falling down the stairs or whatever. But when the older our kids get and our grandkids and the older that we all get, we have to continue to trust and entrust. I love Cheryl's message a few years ago on that, and it just resonates in my mind again and again because that's an ongoing thing. I can trust and entrust my kids yesterday, but I have to do it again today usually. So every time I pray, God, I gave them to you. We put them on the altar like Abraham did Isaac. They belong to you. They are not mine. So I'm entrusting them to you. And then I trust you, God. You love them more than I do. So that's kind of an ongoing thing. Trust and entrust. And that's how I interpret what Cheryl's message was that day. So the only thing that keeps me from fretting about them or other things, as I said, my future, maybe, and how about your finances, your friendships, your family, all those things that we just keep trusting and entrusting to God. The only thing that keeps you from fretting, worrying, and being anxious is to entrust them to God and know that God loves them. He created them. He loves them. He has a plan. So what do or who do you need to commit to the Lord tonight? What do you need to commit into his hands? Because remember, he is able to keep them and to complete what he began in them as well. I love to think about that. Because I think sometimes we're confident that God's going to keep us, at least I hope you are in this room, that God's going to keep you, but he's also going to keep them. If they put their faith and trust in God at some point, in Jesus, God's going to keep them. He's not selective. It's like, oh, I'll keep her and I'll keep him, but I'm not going to keep that one. No, that's not God's love. He keeps all those who come to him. Remember Philippians 1:6? We talked about this last week. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you and in me will complete it until the day of Christ. The Amplified enlarges that verse like this. I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ. Then they go on right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. I love that. He's going to bring that complete and perfect that good work in you until that day. Paul is addressing believers there. And today, you and I, if we're confident that God can do it, we look around and we see those that have gone before. We may be confident, tonight you may be confident that God completed the work in the Apostle Paul. You're very convinced that God completed the work and kept Pastor Chuck, that God completed the work in him. But those promises aren't just for Pastor Chuck and the Apostle Paul. That promise is for you. We need to know that God is going to complete that work in, we sing the song, right? that God is going to complete that he who began a good work. Wait, maybe we'll sing that. He's going to complete it in you, and he's going to complete it in me, because that's our God. He wants us to be convinced. He wants us to be confident. He doesn't want us worrying and fretting, stewing about the security we have in Jesus Christ. And I think the when we begin to worry is like when especially like I was talking about my grandkids, that or even at that stage when my son was, you know, compromising his life. I think then is when we doubt, like, God, are you able to complete that work? And because I know as a child, you know, or whatever, they but maybe their life doesn't currently reflect that decision. I just read across the other day this verse that has he is able in it. It was in Daniel 4:37, and it's talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Look what it says. God is able to humble those who walk in pride. Hey, how about that? Because it goes on, the Nebuchadnezzar. This is Nebuchadnezzar's testimony after God humbled him. I mean, did he humble him big time? Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and his ways are just. God truly is able to humble those who are walking in pride. So trust God, even if you've got a really, really rebellious one and they're walking in pride. God knows how to humble them. I'd like to, but no, he says, let me do it, okay? So God can take care of them and bring them back and finish the work. Jesus goes after the straying lamb. Isn't that what he says? I will leave the 99 who are safe, and I will go after the one until he and bring him back. Jesus cares more than we do, and he knows how to go get them. I'd go get them in a totally different way, I'm sure, and it wouldn't work. But when God knows, he knows how to do every time. So God's beautiful promise, he's able to keep and complete. Now I want to link the complete part again with the verse that we started with Jude 1:24. God is able to present you and me faultless, blameless, and the last part of it is to make you stand before the presence of God. Sometimes we sing that song, will I stand, will I kneel, will I fall, will I be able to say anything at all? Well, the scripture does talk about us standing before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but then I'm sure we're going to fall flat on our faces. And that's God's work, to make us stand. And we're going to do it with joy, with ecstatic enthusiasm, or something was that version. So I want to just wind up here with just a couple more verses. Romans 14:4 in the ESV says, where Paul admonished the believers, the context of this verse is Paul was admonishing believers not to judge another believer. Because listen what it says about that believer who may be wayward, who may not be where he should be. It is before his own master, that is Jesus, that he stands or falls. And he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. God is able to make even the rebellious and the stubborn to stand, because God cares and he is able to humble those who are wayward and not walking in obedience. Romans 16:25 says, it's another benediction. Now unto him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Again, Paul's encouragement to the believers. God is able to establish you. I want to be established, don't you? Continue to walk with him, because that's the best route to go. The route of rebellion and stubbornness, it just ends up more chastisement. And you just go at getting there the hard way. But I want him to establish me in Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:21-22 says, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh, Jesus, through death, and to present you, here we go again, holy, blameless, and irreproachable in God's sight. Remember Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now remember and keep it fresh in your mind. God has promised to be always with you. The Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ lives in you. God says he's for you. So if he's for you, who can be against you? These little prepositions, kind of interesting that can be so powerful. He's also, we sang it tonight, he's before you and he's behind you. And there's another song, he's all around you. God has got you. Don't worry. And God has got your loved one, or God has got you in the palm of his hand. So simply receive it. Remember it when you're in the storm. Rely on it. Rest in it, because your God is an everlasting God and he loves you with an everlasting love, that unconditional love. Underneath you are the everlasting arms. Rejoice because he is able to keep and complete all that he started in you and in me and in every believer. And he's going to do it. He's going to finish it. Count on it. Receive it. Believe it. Trust it. Rely on it. When the storms come, God spoke peace to the storm. He can speak peace to your heart. We just need to run to him, rest in him, rejoice in him. So I'm going to read the words to this song that I alluded to. God is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. I think I forgot to share a verse with you. Psalm 138, I don't know where it was in my notes. He will perfect that which concerns me. Memorize that. Say it with me. God will perfect that which concerns me. Psalm 138:8 is part of the first part of the verse. Hold on to that. God is able to perfect that which concerns you. What concerns you tonight? Anything special? I'm sure there's concerns. We all have concerns. He is able to handle or perfect all that concerns you. Because that was the next phrase here. It's what made me remember. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes your way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than you and I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me and to make you what he wants you and me to be. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that you have given us all these great and precious promises. Thank you, Lord. I just thrill at the fact that you live in me. You've promised never to leave me. You are with me, Emmanuel, and you are for me, not against me. And you are before me and behind me. You're all around me. God, you are such a personal God. You are so faithful and so able to keep all that we've committed unto you. You're able to keep and perfect those things which concern us. And Lord, you will complete, because you promised to finish the work you started in us. And we're so thankful for all of that. So Lord, wherever we're weak and shaky in our faith, wherever we question and doubt, God, will you strengthen us in those areas particularly? Lord, whether it's for ourselves or someone else or our future, if we're just tend to be worriers about a car starting in the morning, whatever it might be. Sometimes it's simple things. Sometimes it's great, big, huge things. The world we live in, there's a lot of things to be concerned about. But Lord, you've got it. You've wrote the end of the book and we've read it. So you're going to win. You're going to come through. And it's going to be great and glorious. And you're going to walk us through any storms that we encounter, any scary places that we might be called upon to walk through. Because you are, again, ever with us. And Jesus, you ever live to make intercession for us. We're so grateful. We praise you. We rejoice in you for your goodness to us. And again, your almighty power. You are the mighty God. Nothing is too hard for you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.